Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday, October 18th, we're heading into Penn State football wideout weekend. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Our Friday show always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Come on, let's go. That is the place you need to be to get what you need for your perfect tailgate for the whiteout. All your favorite brews, soda, water, great lineup of snacks, fresh roasted peanuts, pickle bar. So when you get in, grab a dolly, get what you need. And also you can get select 4-packs and 6-packs already cold and ready to go. Always convenient. Superstock Superstore with Corey and the crew at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. We're at SteveJonesShow.com. You can always find 3 months, at least 3 months, of previous shows on our page. And subscribe to our podcast. If you're listening to us now on the podcast, thank you for downloading. Search Steve Jones Show. We're on the Apple Podcast app and Google Play. And when you find us there, hit subscribe, and then you're good to go. We send the shows right to your smartphone and tablet, so while you're on the go, listen to them anytime, anywhere. Catch up on a few from this week. Anything that you missed leading up to kickoff tomorrow night in Happy Valley with Penn State and Michigan. Our live airtime will be 6 p.m. The tailgate show outside the Jordan Center ticket office with Roger Corey, Matt McGloin, Jack Hammond, Steve, of course, here on WKOK. We hope to hear from Hammer later on. Hammer time. NFL legend Jack Ham scheduled to join us at 4:06. We'll also hear from Brad Edwards from ESPN Radio College Game Day next half hour. And we always finish out the week with picks with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, who has been on an absolute tear, 13-1 the past 2 weeks. So the king at 4:35.
Yes.
Yes.
We have a lot going on today.
We sure do.
A lot. Now, I'm talking with Gary Goloshevsky.
Yes.
The curator. And, I mean, let's face it.
Proprietor.
Works very hard to make sure that the Tom McGrath tailgate is first class.
Well, when you told me the list of delicacies, I'm talking from top to bottom. Wow. Yeah. Let's just say I'm glad I was sitting down when I heard it. It's like
Julie McGrath making some of her world famous dishes, everything. All right. Okay. He did, though.
You sound concerned. Is there a snag?
There's not a snag.
Okay.
There's not a snag.
I'm glad.
It could not be running any smoother.
Wonderful.
But Gary did bring up, when is Sean Kerry showing up?
Really?
Yes, last night.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding you.
Not jiving.
Never. So what about the suit? He's met with silence. They said the goal was to have fun. I don't know what that meant.
Yes.
But he said
we want the oxygen to stay at the tailgate. We don't want it to leave the tailgate.
Yeah, you know, to have all the. I mean, the suit's the only guy I know that can suck the oxygen out of an outdoor room. It's very hard to do. But he said, when is Sean going to show up?
We got to make this happen then.
I know you have to make it happen because they want to meet you. It's very important for them to meet you.
That's very kind of them to think of me.
It was brought up after last night's talk show. When is Sean going to show up? And I said, I'm going to have to bring this up.
I'm glad you did. I can't get there tomorrow, though.
There are still two more opportunities.
That is absolutely correct. No excuse for next month.
All right. Because you'll have at least advance notice. And, of course, the Tom McGrath tailgate, which has a reputation for excellence. It's outstanding. But Gary, as curator and organizer, they're wondering, when do you show? This is an actual conversation we had last night. This is not in the land of make believe. Nor was the comment about sucking all the oxygen out of the room. That was actually accurate too.
Right.
We're going to have an outdoor wedding reception, and he sucked all the oxygen out of that. All right. How did you do that? Some people have that skill. But they listen to the show. Well, actually, they listen to the podcast all the time.
Love it.
And off the podcast, they are big fans of yours. I said, what about the other guy? The other guy we don't like. So I said, wait a minute, Gary, that's me. So they want to know when you're going to be there.
Well, we got to get there next month for sure. Absolutely.
You cannot disappoint these people.
No, I can't.
Every single person at this...
Pressure now is now on moi to make this happen.
Every person at this is a first-class individual. I mean, these are really, really great people. I mean, all of them across the board. Now, Tom and Julie, I mean, the Tom McGrath tailgate, it speaks for itself. You know, but Gary and Amy and Randy and Mary Ellen and John and Mary, and, you know, you're going through everybody. It's like they're just all terrific people. You would fit right in. You would fit in perfectly.
Well, when I'm there, I have to make sure you're there as well. So it would probably have to be a post-game kind of thing. Just all depends on the kickoff, though, as to what time that would be.
I understand.
Yeah.
But they wanted to know where you lived, right? I was a little cautious on that question at first.
If these are all A-plus, top shelf,
that's why I told Manhattan. So it was. How close was I?
2-3 hours.
They understand the World of Brewers outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar, and Gary would tell you right away, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
By the way, Corey, not too long ago, adding lots of 4-packs and 6-packs, ice cold and ready to go.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
For your tailgating needs or any other needs.
Game changer.
And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. No, you were a topic of conversation last night.
I remember a couple of years ago, and it was the Saturday night Georgia State game, and yeah. I was hoping to get to the...
Yes.
I was hoping to get to the Super G Tom McGrath tailgate that night, but was on media duties that night and was unable to swing by. But absolutely no excuse on my part. Now we got to just make it happen.
Now we have advance notice.
We do.
We're good.
Well, they do that I'll be getting there. So they won't be disappointed when I get there. So.
No, not in the least. They hear you all the time in the show. They already like you. Well, so that's not going to be an issue. You're not going to walk in there and go, last year I won an award for it. Okay, and at that point, these people are,
I didn't, so I don't have to worry about that. So.
I'm done with this one time. I bowled 298. All right.
You don't worry about the awards. We just let the content here speak for itself.
Yeah. By the way, we're proud of the award. Okay.
Sure, we are. We're happy for him.
Really happy for him. You know, and I get three texts a day saying, remember I won an award? I'm like, okay, at some point, you know, that's how you get on delete. By the way, you know who I saw today?
Herbie.
Wheels.
Kirk Herbs. Oh, Wheels. He's in town.
Oh, no. Yes, I saw. We had Chris and Renee were there. We had a good talk today.
Now business is picking up. Here we go.
Okay, we had a good talk today.
Hope he's doing well.
The big Phillies fan comes over and he says to me, he says, I hope Chase Utley gets the managerial job. And I looked at him, I said, Chase Utley? I said, are you kidding me? I said, maybe as a bench coach. I said, but no way as a manager. I said, you need an experienced hand. And I used the example of Ollie Marmol. Ollie Marmol, who's still young, by the way. Ollie's in his early 30s. Managed 2 years here with the State College Spikes. Then after managing 2 years and getting, you know, he got to the championship series twice, he won one. He then moved up in the organization, and now he's gone from first base coach with the Cardinals being the bench coach. Well, that's how you end up becoming a manager, like Alex Cora did with the Astros in 2017. You end up being a manager by getting that kind of experience. You don't walk from playing. He says, he's such a popular Philly. I said, he's really popular until he botches a couple of bullpen changes. I said, and at that point, it doesn't matter who he is. Right? Doesn't matter if he's Gandhi. Hey, yo, Gandhi, forget it. I didn't like that bullpen change at all, but my philosophy, yeah, terrific, but the bullpen change was bad.
Okay. Or watch out if you take out your ace up five runs with barely 75 pitchers in the bag.
So. Yeah, I mean, don't do that. And so Wheels and I both agreed and talked this guy off the ledge that an experienced hand was what the Phillies needed. But yeah, it was great to see Wheels and Renee take, golly, we were laughing. You know, because Jack came over. Jack was there, and we had a good time. A lot of laughs. He's enjoying life in Clearwater. I can tell you that. You know, he moved. In fact, he and Renee moved into a new place down there. So he's doing.
That's really right. Well. Yeah, he was in the process of locking that up when we bought our place last year, a little over a year ago.
Exactly right.
We were exchanging mortgage stories.
Yes,
mine was a lot less boring.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
True. Having working capital does help.
Right.
It makes the process less boring. All right. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Dotson swings at far side, 40, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State!
Penn State football is sponsored by Blaze Alexander Ford, Carpet Man, Mifflinburg Auto Sales, Glick Associates, Mifflinburg Hotel, Scarlet D, and Lewisburg Hotel. It's the Whiteout and Beaver Stadium with the Nittany Lions in Michigan. Kickoff Saturday set for 7:30 on at 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. Gary also says he wants to fill in for me when I'm on the road, and I said, that's not happening. So, just want to make sure.
You had to draw the line?
Yeah. At some point, you're looking, no, that's not happening.
Okay. Well, that kind of gives me a heads up in case I swing by the tailgate, and if you're busy with Jack or talking to fans elsewhere, and if he and I happen to get in a conversation, he might, hey, I got a great idea. I could hang with you here for maybe a show or two while he's, you know, out on a jet plane to a basketball game or something like that. So, you know. So now I'm prepared if that happens to pop up into conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to make sure. And we're talking about the I think, you know, we've got Jack here. We're going to break down Penn State for you, break down the game. We've got Brad Edwards on next half hour from ESPN, from ESPN Radio Game Day. So he's been traveling all over the place. And we also will have on the King. The King has been on a roll, essentially destroying us at every turn, it looks like. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, is out 3 weeks. Excuse me, 3 weeks. So the MRI could not have come out any better for him. Yankees and Astros. The Yankees have the same confused look on their faces that they had in the Red Sox series last year. And that I'm not trying to be funny about that. You could just see, like, what the heck? You know, they've got that, what the heck is going on here? They don't have, I still believe, despite what analytics says, you still need that pitchers go deep enough into a game to make a difference for you. You can talk about second at-bats and third at-bats all you want, okay? But if you've got good starting pitching that can get you through six to ease the burden on the bullpen, I think you've got something there. The Astros have that. The Yankees have good starting pitching, but not deep. But it doesn't go deep enough into games. And that's what and I think you got what Verlander's tonight. And at the least, even if Verlander is not on, he can get you deep enough into the game. I mean that's what you're looking for. And we will see. And the Phillies managerial thing is still wide open. But the idea that Chase Utley would be the manager of the team, are you kidding me? I mean, I've had people like seriously say that to me. And I'm thinking, are you serious? I'm sorry. You have to go out and be able to manage games, manage situations, and manage a season. That's not easy. You need some semblance of experience to do that. That's why I think one of the great things that's ever happened in baseball happened to be bench coaches. I think bench coaches have been one of the great items to happen in baseball because it's allowed people to be there next to the manager, make suggestions, talk it through, whatever, and it gives that person some semblance of managerial experience.
Yeah, there's already been a round of interviews with not only Dusty Baker, who was at Citizens Bank Park till way after dark last night, but also they've already had a chance to talk to Joe Girardi in New York.
He will get a second interview.
And Buck Showalter. So, yes, a second round of interviews coming up then.
My understanding is Girardi and Showalter absolutely are going to get second interviews. That's my understanding.
Yeah, maybe Wednesday, Thursday next week in between World Series games we could get an announcement. So,
hey, you know what? Unless you're worried somebody's going to be taken, they're not playing next week. I think everybody would like to have it settled. But I think... it seems to me like there are a lot of fans that are not big on Dusty Baker. That's the one that seems I'm a little surprised that people aren't big about.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show, and we've had quite a week this week. A lot of great guests, and we are not done yet. Randy Etzwiler, thanks so much. Send us a like on the Steve Jones Show. Hey, Randy, thanks so much for doing that. Really, really appreciate that more than you know. Thank you. And to all of you who have done likes on the show, most of them were actually directed at Sean, but I still appreciate it.
Nah, that's not true.
Just, it's terrific. Thank you so much for all the likes, including Randy's latest. Appreciate that. We've had a lot of great guests this week, from Jim Brandstetter to Matt McGloin, and we've gone through a bunch of them. Not done with it. We still have Jack Hammond the next half hour. And in this half hour, Brad Edwards from ESPN College Game Day, from the radio side of College Game Day. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Friday show, as always. If you are going to lead into a great tailgating weekend, you need to go to Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led indeed by the barrels and the dills, is without question second to none. Any specials we need to mention?
I think we're good.
Hey, outstanding. All Brewers clear. Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, with that, let's get a look at Penn State, Michigan, but also more on the national scene as well with Brad Edwards from ESPN Radio College Game Day. Brad, it's great to have you back with us on the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back. Good to talk to you again. It's been a good season so far for the Nittany Lions.
So what have you thought when you've been able to get your bits and pieces here and there in Penn State? What has stuck out to you, pro and con?
Well, I mean, the thing that jumps out at everybody is that front seven.
Yeah.
And just how incredibly disruptive they are. And it's not just getting to the quarterback. It's, you know, I mean, running plays, you name it. I mean, I was on SportsCenter just a couple hours ago talking about them, and they said it doesn't matter whether you're quarterback or running back. If you're holding the ball behind the line of scrimmage against Penn State, get ready to get hit, because that's just the level that they're playing at right now. And I thought they would be good on defense going into the season. I wasn't really seeing them being this good, and I had questions about the offense. And I think for a lot of the season they've been hit and miss. Very reliant on the big play in most of the games. But I see some signs there that they're starting to get it together, and obviously they need to, because they got some big games coming up.
What has your read been on Sean Clifford to this point, Brad?
Yeah, I thought that he would be a little bit better than he has been, simply because of the Tommy Stevens decision to transfer. Mm-hmm. When he did, you know, he did it so soon that I was like, man, Clifford must be really good for him to have given up already and decided to get out of Dodge. Now, that doesn't mean that Clifford hasn't been good at all. But I was thinking, man, he might be like all Big Ten caliber guy coming off of that. And it took him a while to get going. I mean, obviously, the at least to me, I'm thinking the Maryland game was probably the high point. But you can see now Maryland's not that good on defense. So I'm looking for a little bit more consistency from him. And, maybe a little bit more consistency in the downfield passing game. I think that's really what Penn State needs to establish, is just a little bit more Not that they don't have the deep threats on the outside, but it's just more the ability to complete those passes consistently.
All right, so now let's flip it to the other side. Michigan is 5-1. 5-1 is a very good record.
Yeah,
but what
doesn't feel like it?
I know, and that's what the question is. What do you know about Michigan right now?
I think I know a lot about Michigan, and what I know is that they don't look as good as you would think a 5-1 team would. I guess my questions about Michigan are really on defense. You know, there have been times this year where they've looked good. I mean, the Iowa game really jumps out the most.
Sure.
Where they looked like the type of defense that you would expect Michigan to have, and really the type of defense they've had for the last few years. But then there have been a lot of other times where, you know, you look, I mean, the Wisconsin game, and especially in the first half, the Illinois game last week when Illinois made the comeback, and
right.
you're not sure what you're getting on that side of the ball, which is something I wasn't expecting to say this year, even though they did lose a lot of really talented guys off that defense from last year. But on offense, I mean, I think I know what they are, which is this is a team that is not going to be able to run the ball against a good defense, so I don't expect them to generate anything on the ground against Penn State. And it's going to be up to Shea Patterson to be able to make things happen with those receivers, and Patterson has not looked comfortable all season long in that offense. And I'm really not sure how much the offense has changed. You know, I know they're going shotgun, but other than that, there are times when it looks a lot like Jim Harbaugh's offense. And you know, all the talk in the offseason about Josh Gattis and he's going to do this and that. And I don't know. Maybe it's just that when you can't block, you just get a lot more limited in what you can do. And so you end up just kind of focusing on a few things and trying to do those well. It could be as simple as that, but to me, there's nothing special about this Michigan offense, and I think they're going to struggle to get more than 10 points on Saturday night.
All right, so let's get to the national viewpoint for a moment. There are certain teams everybody knows. Clemson will stand out. Alabama will stand out. But I want to go to LSU first. When you look at LSU, what are the elements that tell you they have college football playoff potential?
Well, it's the offense, obviously, and the passing game. And I don't know how many times over the years I've heard LSU fans say that, okay, we're going to open up the offense this year. And a lot of time they've said it because they've heard their coaches say it. They've made promises, we're going to do this, do that. And it never happened. And so I was skeptical coming into this year, you know, even though they brought in Joe Brady from the Saints. But the first game was like, this looked different. And then against Texas, game two, you saw this was a real thing, and they were going to stick with it. And man, Joe Burrow was impressive last week against Florida. I mean, I don't know that we've had a game this season where a quarterback looked better than he looked in that one. And there's no doubt that he's got the receivers. I don't think their offensive line is elite, but when you're able to throw the ball that well and you know, mix in some short passes as part of that, you keep a defense off balance. They're not going to be able to pin their ears back and come after you. So I think they do enough to just keep defenses honest, and that helps protect the passer. So, I think they're going to score a lot of points on anybody they face. The flip side of it is the question mark for LSU, which is what you never question with that team.
Exactly. I know what you're going to say. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and look, they – and I say this with the knowledge that in a few weeks they're going to Tuscaloosa.
Right.
And I saw Sam Ellinger, with no threat of a running game, move up and down the field. I think Texas scored every possession of the second half against LSU in week two. And then just when you thought, okay, maybe they've improved, you know, then Kyle Trask, Florida's backup quarterback, leads 4 75-yard touchdown drives. And then he has two more drives in the fourth quarter, one that ends in a inside the 10, throws a pick in the end zone, and the final drive of the game ends at like the 2-yard line. So they very easily could have scored 42 points, and they didn't get a lot done in the running game either.
Right.
And so I look at that pass defense, and I'm like, you know what, they've got some like elite talent in that secondary.
No question.
I'm not saying every single one of them, but there are some players in there that are among the best in the nation, their positions, and yet – I don't see how they're going to keep Alabama from scoring at least in the 40s.
Yeah.
So, look, that'll be a fun game because we've all these – and think about it. 8 years ago, LSU went into Tuscaloosa, and it was 9-6 in overtime.
I remember.
And, yeah, I mean, who could forget that? And now we're going to see what probably looks like a Big 12 game because that's just where these teams are right now.
Which is amazing. It's also amazing, too, to think of the fact that Joe Burrow left Ohio State and then opened the door – down the road in the dominoes of Justin Fields to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Georgia, when I was in Iowa City last week, I watched the Georgia-South Carolina game for a period of time. To be honest with you, with a third-string quarterback, South Carolina, I thought, looked better in a lot of ways.
Georgia, why did Georgia struggle in that game? And, you know, I know Notre Dame's good, but they struggle with them too.
Yeah. You know, it was still surprising. I would say it wasn't shocking because I had been questioning Georgia last week going into the game because they had a chance to put Notre Dame away and they never could quite do it. I think there's a pretty big talent gap between those teams, and yet it just didn't look that way on the field.
Right.
Then in the week before against Tennessee, they let Tennessee play them almost toe-to-toe in the first half. I mean, Georgia, it wasn't until late in the first half they started to get a little bit of separation. And I'm just thinking, what's wrong with Georgia? And then they go out. You mentioned the third-string quarterback for South Carolina, who played basically the whole second half. Now, they never scored a touchdown with him in there.
Yeah, I know.
It was just simply a matter of Georgia's offense, even though they knew South Carolina wasn't going to be able to generate much more, Georgia's offense still couldn't score. And that was the alarming part, because all I heard about all offseason is that this is the best offensive line in college football. And any Georgia fan would have told you they had like 15 guys who would have started for anyone in America on the offensive line.
Right.
And we know they have great talent at running back. They've got one of the better quarterbacks in the country, although he didn't play that well last week. Two of his three picks were not his fault, but that's another story. But what's wrong with Georgia's offense? And I think it just comes down to lack of chemistry with, you know, the quarterback and some very young receivers, and they got to get it figured out. You know, I said after the loss last week on the radio that, hey, you know what, they looked bad in a loss about the same time of year last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost by about three touchdowns at LSU last October.
Right.
And then they turn around and run the table, and they almost beat Alabama in the SEC championship game and almost get into the playoff. And so what's the difference? Well, I think the difference isn't so much that Georgia isn't as good as they were last year. That's possible. But I think what feels more different is that the competition that they face the rest of the way is better than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
Florida is a lot better than it was at this time last year.
Right.
Auburn is a lot better than it was at this time last year. And so Georgia's path to win out is more challenging than it was coming off that October loss in 2018. And that's why Georgia just really does not feel like a playoff team to me right now. It's not just because they didn't look like one last Saturday. It's that based on what I've seen, I don't like their chances to run the table.
I don't want to say that they have not won a game in which Jake Fromm has attempted more than 31 passes in a game either. There's a formula for Georgia to win.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's Kirby's style. It's interesting because you look at the way that Nick Saban has adapted over the last few years, and he's gone up-tempo. He's gone dual-threat quarterback
with
Jalen Hurts. He's done a lot of the things that he had to do in order to keep up. You know, it didn't take a 7-5 season for Nick Saban to realize he needed to change things.
Right.
But Kirby coaches the way that Saban did when Kirby was on the staff there.
Yes.
And Kirby's still going very slow tempo. It is pro style. Run the ball. You know, and try to keep the passes to a minimum. And what's crazy is that the talent level is so great there, and yet his style intentionally minimizes the number of possessions in the game, and it's allowing less talented teams a better chance to hang in there for longer.
Which is the Iowa style, and I mentioned that in our pregame show the other day. I said, look, the number of possessions will determine who wins the game. If it's 9 or 10 per team, Iowa's got a real chance. Georgia plays like that. Now let's flip to the other side. He could have changed the dynamic of that, say, if Justin Fields had been his quarterback. Well, Justin Fields is now Ohio State's quarterback. What difference has that made in how Ohio State with Ryan Day attacks a defense?
Yeah, we knew coming into the year it was going to be a different-looking Ohio State offense because he obviously was much more of a running threat than what they had last year with Haskins. Mm-hmm. I thought that maybe it would look more like the JT Barrett offenses, but it turns out I think we can see why he was the number one rated recruit coming out of high school, is because he can throw the ball really well too.
Yeah.
And there were questions about that. Like we wondered, why was Justin Fields hardly playing at Georgia? I mean, it wasn't just because he was behind Jake Fromm. I mean, they had a lot of blowout games where there were chances to put him in there more than they did, and they just didn't do it. And you knew if you don't do it, he might transfer, and Kirby still didn't feel for whatever reason, like he was ready, and who knows what he saw. But whatever questions we had coming into the season about whether Fields could throw accurately, whether he could read defenses, I'm sure they've simplified things for him a good bit in the passing game, and I'm guessing he's not having to read as much as he will later in his career. But still, he has shown he can do everything well. And that offense right now, I mean, they're blocking well too. The running game's gotten going much better than it was last year. And man, both sides of the ball, they look elite. And they haven't played a great team yet, that's true. But they are pounding bad teams the way that a great team should. And they weren't doing that last year. Even as Dwayne Haskins was setting all these Big Ten passing records, they were not looking like an elite team. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do next week against Wisconsin, and obviously Penn State about a month after that, because they look like they could be the best team in the country right now.
They're playing like it, and they'll get Northwestern Friday night, and then obviously they'll get Wisconsin the week after that. When you see, for example, and this will be the last question, Brad, I appreciate your time. We'll let you go after this. When you see the whiteout, for example, at Penn State, but not just the whiteout, Jack Ham and I were sitting at in Kinnick Stadium last week, and they had a stripe out. And we're sitting there before the game. He says, now, this is what the difference between college football and the pros is, seeing something like this.
Yeah.
When you look out and you see what I just talked about at Kinnick, or what you see at Beaver Stadium or other places, what does that tell you about the passion for the game across the country?
Yeah, you're right. That's what, to me, is separates college football from the NFL. It's the passion of the fans. And that's not to say the fans don't care in the NFL, but it's just more personal.
Yeah.
You know, in college, because so many of the fans, they either live most of their lives in that state or they went to that school. And it's different from, you know, you live in a city and you root for a bunch of people who aren't even from your city.
Right.
And some of the ones that you're rooting for, you were rooting against the year before because they were playing on your rival. And like, it's just, college is so much different, and it is the passion of the fans. And I got to tell you, I've been all over the country, and I'm sure you've heard others say this as well. I was there for the whiteout 2 years ago against Michigan.
Yes, in fact,
I was on your show the day before the game.
Yes,
and
you were.
That was an ugly game, and I'm expecting this one is going to be like that one. I know you're hoping that that's correct. But man, what a great atmosphere, and it rivals Tiger Stadium, you know, Baton Rouge, on a Saturday night, and it is really special. And I'm glad I got to see it, because it was one of the few places I had not yet seen a big game, and it lived up to all the hype.
Well, you always live up to the hype. You do a great job. Great job. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today, for all the insight. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Always enjoy it, Steve. Take care.
ESPN College Game Day Radio, Brad Edwards. Next half hour, Jack Ham. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Dotson swings at far side, 40, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State!
Penn State football is sponsored by Blaze Alexander Ford, Carpet Man, Mifflinburg Auto Sales, Glick Associates, Mifflinburg Hotel, Scarlet D, and Lewisburg Hotel. It's the whiteout in Beaver Stadium with the Nittany Lions in Michigan. Kickoff Saturday set for 7:30, on at 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, next half hour, Jack Ham will join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. And then the King will then join us for picks in the final half hour. We were sent exclusive numbers from him on picks. And of course, he would send exclusive numbers. And his numbers are great. Great to have Brad Edwards on today, too. We had a lot of feedback, by the way, in our Matt McGloin interview. You know, with the XFL, I mean, timely. And before you think for a moment that, Steve got a hold of Matt, Matt got on. No, Sean set that up. Sean sets up all that. This one with Jack, I set up. I'll admit that. But Sean sets up everything else. Sean is the engine here. We're all just along for the ride. So, great job as always. Tonight, Shikellamy and Shamokin. Salins Grove at senior night. Lewisburg at senior night. Tonight. Salins Grove on Eagle 107. Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. And Kevin and the Chief will be here with us on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 6:30. And again, we want to take one more moment to make sure that we wish a hearty congratulations to Dave Jacchini for his first win at Bucknell last week. Great win. Doesn't Doug Birdsong, along with Kevin, do a great job on the Bucknell broadcast on Eagle 107? Awesome job.
On to Townsend for tomorrow.
Townsend, yes.
Townsend.
Townsend's pretty tough, but they're 3. Townsend's a confusing 3-3. You know, they should be better than they are. You know, with some of the teams that have played, they're still ranked, I want to say 17th or 18th in FCS right now. But they're 3-3 at this point. And those, you know, only one loss is to an FBS team. The other two are to FCS teams. And Bucknell's going to be feeling pretty good about itself after how they played last week at Colgate. Dave's done a great job. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.